Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezevic. Usually on Thursdays at 1 o'clock on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, you can hear the best. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. But he's been nice enough to do a second one this week with us. Elliot, how are you, my friend?
How are
you?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. We wanted to get your thoughts on what's going to be happening in our city a week from now. Obviously, the awards on Monday, but then the draft will get underway. And I know all these GMs are going to be moving and shaking, because I have a feeling it's going to be pretty active when it comes to trades and whether it's teams moving up in the draft or moving players around. Would you agree with that?
I do. I can guarantee you this. One thing that's going to happen next week in Nashville is I'm going to be spending a lot of time on Broadway. I can guarantee you that for sure.
As you should.
That's my number one lock of the week. I do think it's going to be busy. We've had some stuff happen already with Columbus, for example. I think there's some other teams. I think Philly would love to do stuff already. I think St. Louis would love to do stuff already. I think Winnipeg would love to do stuff already. But it takes two to tango. And the one thing is that some people, their strategy is to wait, delay. So, you know, we'll see if anybody decides to go now, or they just decide, you know what, we got another week. For the first day and night of the draft isn't for 7 days. The old Lou Lamoriello strategy: if you've got time, use it.
Pierre-Luc Dubois is a name that is floating out there as being a potential trade target for teams. I know he had kind of alluded to that he wouldn't re-sign in Winnipeg. I have seen the Predators linked to him. Do you feel like that they, one, could be in play, and would it be a good fit?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, he's a top two-line center in the NHL, so everybody can use him. Like, there isn't a single team in the league that wouldn't look at a player like that and say he could help us in some way. Look, he's asking for 8x9. Do you think that that's something that Nashville would want to do? So that's the first question. How does Nashville feel about a contract in that area? Because that's, you know, maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room down, but it's generally in that area. How would Nashville feel about that? Could Nashville even do that? So that's number one. That's the number one thing I take a look at here. Secondly, you'd be helping a divisional opponent. Some teams care about that. Some teams don't. They'd be helping you too, and a rival of yours. And the third thing is, you know, Winnipeg wants to not contend now, but they want to be in the race now. They don't want to do a total rebuild. And so my question is, do you have players you can trade to Winnipeg that isn't a sideways move for you, that can help the Jets now and doesn't hurt the Predators to the point where you get Dubois and basically you've filled one hole, but you've created others? To me, I think that's a tough match. But it's not impossible, but I think it's a tough match.
Talking to Elliot Friedman. So we saw the trade deadline, how active the Predators were. And even though David Poile, still the general manager, I think we all know Barry Trotz had a lot to do with that. This is basically his team now, even though David will be the GM through next week. Do you believe that over the course of the next week, that's really going to give us the full glimpse of Barry Trotz, the general manager, whereas we've known him for so long as Barry Trotz, the coach?
Well, I think he already talked about how he wants you guys to take chances, right? So, I don't think you guys have never struck me as overly conservative. you guys have a certain type. For a long time, your type was Western Hockey League, or there were people in your organization who really liked the U.S. National Team Development Program. And I think you guys were reasonably consistent on that. But you guys weren't afraid to do bold things. I think what you guys, until proven wrong, I think what your DNA is going to be is not afraid to try bold things but also break the DNA of where you guys tended to draft from. You know, like the quote that Barry Trotz made at his availability about taking big swings, I don't think that was lip service. I think that was real. You guys have more draft picks than anybody else right now in this draft, so that gives you the opportunity to do it. And, you know, the word I'm still hearing from teams around the league is that that is going to be what the Predators consider. And, you know, when you ask people now, you know, who to watch over the next few days, you know, I mentioned some few teams, but I think that people put Nashville on that list. A, because of what Barry Trotz said. B, because you're at home. And C, because, you know, like, you know, the season you just had, you can't run it back. You have to try different things. So I think it's going to be fascinating. I think you're going to stick to your DNA in some things, but I think you're going to change your DNA in others.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet joins us right now. Elliot, as the draft approaches quickly, we've talked about all the draft capital that the Predators have. We've talked if they could make some big swings. And honestly, one of the biggest questions is, could they make a big swing in trading, you know, UC Saros? There were some rumors earlier this year that they were in some talks. Is there any update you have on that or anything you've heard? And also, a little two-parter here, what do you think would be a fair return for a guy like UC Saros?
Well, I really believe that Saros' calls were initiated by other teams and not by you. I think there were teams that called you. Like, when you looked at the way that Nashville did things around the deadline, it was very clear that you were unafraid and you were willing to take bold swings. And when you're doing that, teams call you because they're not doing their job if they don't. They're like, wow, we just saw what you did with Tanner Jeannot or name one of the other trades you made. What else are you thinking? Like, what else could you do here? And, you know, I think it was a situation where, you know, like teams like the Kings that were looking for goaltending, they called you and they said, would you do Saros? And if so, what would it cost us? So I think there are teams who asked. And I think now there's a lot of goaltenders on the market. So teams are doing their due diligence. They're saying, look, this guy's available, this guy's available, this guy's available. We're going to call Nashville and we're going to say, hey, is their guy available? Because he's a hell of a goalie. My general feeling is that the Predators are not inclined to do it. But if you present them with something that they have to think about, they'll think about it. There are very few players in this league that are untradeable. There are players that teams prefer to keep, but there are very few who are untradeable. And I think the best way to answer your second question about what it looks like, I think it's one of those things, and people have told me this before, where if this person gets traded, you'll look at the deal and you'll say, okay, I get it. I see why they traded this guy. And I think if Saros gets traded, we're going to look at that deal and we're going to say, okay, I get it. Nashville had to do this. So I think it's other teams calling as opposed to you guys putting them out there. And I think everybody knows that if this is going to happen, the price is going to be very, very high.
Talking with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, do you believe that the Predators either are active or will be active in trying to potentially move one of the $8 million deals in Johansson or Duchesne?
I think they've at different times over the past few years, they've looked into it. They've put those players out there, but I think it's really hard right now, guys. There's the cap's only going up $1 million. Like teams like Arizona that in the past have taken these kind of contracts, they don't seem as inclined to do it. I think those are going to be very hard things to do this offseason. Not impossible, but probably more difficult than an average year.
And also, a couple of restricted free agents that Barry Trotz is going to have to deal with. Cody Glass, Alex Carrier. What's kind of the latest you're hearing on that, and how could you see that going?
I honestly, you know, Carolyn asked me about that last week. She always asked me the toughest questions. I hadn't looked into it a lot. I planned on looking into that for my hit with them tomorrow because she gave me the homework assignment. So I still have to look into that, and I'm going to do. I'll work on that for tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing that tomorrow. That's a great setup for that. But Elliot, appreciate your time
That's
as always.
That's called a listener hook.
Yes.
You guys are the radio veterans. You know the listener hook.
That is the hook. That will keep people listening for sure. But good to talk to you again, and I will see you next week at the draft, and I owe you a beer.
Enjoy Broadway.
Hey, believe I gotta tell you, all there'll be lots of beers consumed next week. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, no doubt about it. So looking forward to having you in our city. Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks, Elliot.
Take care. Speak to you guys later.
Yep. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. Hockey Night in Canada, the author of the 32 Thoughts, and an awesome person. So looking forward to seeing him in person next week at the NHL draft. We'll react to a couple of things that you just heard there and put a bow on today's show. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.